Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another Word for Today with Ray. And today I'd like to say I just am so grateful for all of you that are listening to these words, and I pray that it blesses your life and heart and that you learn to be obedient unto God, who has such a great plan for you. We're going to open with prayer today, as we usually do, and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truths today. Lord, that you'd empower us according to your Spirit to live according to those truths, that you teach us more about you and your Son Jesus and your ways, so that we might be pleasing in your eyes. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds, our eyes and our ears to receive from you today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title to today's lesson is Titus Not Compelled, and it's taken from the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 3. In recounting his history to the church membership in Galatia, Paul mentioned his companions who traveled to Jerusalem with him in the early goings. In verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Galatians, Paul mentioned Titus and Barnabas. In verse 3, Paul elaborates more on Titus, and his experience with him relates directly to one of the false teachings the Galatians were encountering at this time. He wrote, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." One of the teachings that was being promoted among the Judaizers was that when a Gentile was saved, he should be circumcised physically to demonstrate that he was a true believer. The custom of circumcision was introduced by God to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and verses 9 through 14, where we read, "And God said unto Abraham, You shall keep my covenant therefore, you and your seed after you in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with the money of a stranger, which is not of your seed. He that is born in your house and he that is bought with your money must needs to be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant, and the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." The Judaizers believed that every man who came into a relationship with God must follow this law. This was part of the reason Paul was writing to the Galatians. However, Paul uses the example of Titus when he wrote, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." In other words, while Paul visited Jerusalem, no one saw it necessary, forced, or made threats against Titus because he was not circumcised. Although Titus had a Jewish mother and a Gentile father, by implication of Paul's words, we know that Titus could have been circumcised. However, no one strongly suggested that he be. The implied question is, if this was the law that was to be followed, why didn't the leadership in Jerusalem force Titus to be circumcised? Paul knew there was no good answer to that question. It's easy to step up on a platform and be in agreement with Paul as we read these words. However, are there certain rules or laws that we feel that a person should keep if they are really in a relationship with God? We have to admit that God did implement the idea of circumcision. It's quite possible that he implemented the rule we are thinking of as well. But if we were to find one not keeping our rule, would we be as the Judaizers and believe that people should be compelled to keep it? As we place ourselves in the positions of both Paul, who conveyed these words to the church members of Galatia, and the Galatian church members themselves, what would we be thinking as both writer and receiver of these words express them? Maybe we should be compelled to seek God's help in knowing the way we are to be. Next time, we will see what false brethren did to the church of Galatia. So read ahead and let us join together then. Until tomorrow, there is more. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace as you continue to study his word. In Jesus' name.